Good evening, everybody. We are here with our session 201, March the 9th. We just thank God once again giving us an opportunity today morning, daytime the pastor's conference, and then this evening the Q&A, probably different audience, but God is good. We just want to thank him. So before we go to the questions, we have lots of questions, backlog also. Father, this evening, we just thank you, Lord, as we come to the end of this week. We thank you for life. We thank you for strength. We thank you for this place. We thank you for this opportunity to minister, Lord, to your people. I pray, Father, the answers will be true to your word, to your spirit, and it would edify, strengthen your people, Lord. So give us the unction and the discernment, Lord. Father, we just thank you for everything, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Be with us, all of us, even now. For in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Yes, Pastor Vijay, we can start.
Yes, Pastor, we'll start with question number one. This is, yeah. It says, healing the wound of rejection. What is it? How does it feel like? How does it affect our life? What is rejection? What is rejection?
Basically. This is, this has been there right from the beginning. Okay. The thing is, when Adam and Eve fell and, they were cast out. There were two things that are happening there. First is Adam's words. So you will see the first one to feel rejection is the woman. The same man who said, you are the bone of my bones and the flesh of my flesh, says, this woman gave it to me. And that's why I ate it. Okay. Then finally you will see God will cast them out of his presence. And Eden is locked up for them. So that's where the root of rejection comes. The root comes from there. Like we've been looking at the kingdom and we go back to the format, the original template we have. Man was not supposed to live like that. God breathed into him and man was supposed to govern earth, which was given to him through the spirit. And God blesses Adam and Eve. He blesses them. He says, be fruitful, multiply, subdue, have dominion. Here I give all this to you and the herbs also you shall eat of it. Okay. It's like a nursery. Okay. In the nursery, they grow everything and then they finally will take it out and plant the whole garden in the same way. The whole earth was given to them. Eden was the small nursery. From there, as they multiplied, their offspring was supposed to take it all the way across. Mm. That is how we were supposed to live. And that's how we will live again. If you notice God, and we are made in his, you heard part of it in the likeness and in the image, we were made.
You want to take a break?
No, we will wait till the question is over. Okay. I mean, it may take time.
Okay.
And, thing is, if you look at it in Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, this is before the fall, okay? This is how man was supposed to live. God speaks, and things comes to be, okay? Then man is made in that same image, and the first thing God will say is that you are in charge of the garden, now you take care of it. Guard it, take care of it. Hmm. And then he brings the animals to him and he names them. Okay. I don't personally believe, no, I could be wrong, personally believe so much that Adam was supposed to work the way we work with so much with his body. Because God doesn't work with his body. How he exercises dominion is by words.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, by words. Mm. His words. And if you look in words, chapter 1 and chapter 2, you will only see Adam using words. Okay, words. Mm. And words are very powerful. Very, very powerful. Even now it is powerful. Only thing, we don't see how powerful it is. But that is how he was supposed to. And I believe in the millennium realm, reign of Jesus Christ, that's how the saints will rule again. We'll go back to our original format. We will reign with words. We'll reign with words. Okay, that's how they were supposed to live. Okay. And if you go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, 2 and 3. Okay, 2 and 3. You have to look at God because he's our image. Okay. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. The Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And then God said, let there be light, and there was light. So you need to look in verse 2. What God sees is darkness. What God says is light. He doesn't say what he sees. He says what he wants.
Intense, yeah.
Okay. Our problem is we see something and we say it. Okay. If you're afraid, you say that. If you are depressed, you say that. And what happens? The power of words. The question is, what is that you want? What is that God has said you should have? Let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Okay. Understand how words. This is how we were supposed to live. Mm-hmm. Why? Because that we are created in the image of God. Now when God is restoring us, we are going back to that. Like we heard in the morning, in the prayer closet, we have a relationship with God. We understand his purpose. And then according to his purpose, according to his word, we speak. We speak. So after the fall, if you go to Genesis chapter 3, okay, if you look at the difference, the first words of man, okay, post-fall, okay, if you look at chapter 3 and verse 10, okay, 9, God asked, where are you? 3:10. Okay, he said, I heard the sound of your garden. I was afraid because I was naked. I hid myself. Now you need to realize his speech has turned completely. Mm. Okay, it's turned completely. He is saying exactly what he feels and what he desires. Okay, his desire has gone. His speech has turned. This is what the fall has done. Okay, and then when God asked, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree? Verse 12. The woman said, okay, no longer the flesh of my flesh, the bone of my bones, my sweetheart. He's not saying that. The woman whom you gave to me, she gave off the tree I ate. So you will see the words that is coming is the first words are words of rejection. He's giving ownership of that to God, not to himself. He's not saying mine. Okay. If you look over there, he will name Eve twice. He will name him twice before the fall and after the fall. Before the fall, in chapter 2, he will call her in verse 23, he will call her woman because she was taken, verse 23, because she was taken out of man. And in 3:20, if I'm right, he will call her Eve. Okay, man called because she was the mother of all living. So you realize he names her twice. Okay, so you have to understand the power of words, power of words. Now you need to realize it's words first, most primarily that cause rejection. Okay, words that cause rejection. And what happens is now we come down. If you go to that question, we come down. Rejection can start right in the beginning, in the womb. Okay? A child is conceived. Now the mother or the father or both of them will say, I didn't want a child now. I didn't want a child or I didn't want a child now. And they speak. Please remember. It is not like the liberal leftists talk about fetus. That's a living thing. It's a living being that's in the mother's womb. And it can feel rejection right from the beginning. can feel rejection. So rejection begins, can begin right or can be later. Later is because we confuse love with approval. Approval may be connected with works. Okay. But that is a different thing. Love is unconditioned and constant. Okay. God never stops loving us. But he approves or disapproves depending upon what we do and what he told us to do. But he never stops loving us. So what we do is that we withdraw the love of God, the love from that child, because it didn't do what we, or it didn't measure up to our estimates.
Expectations.
Okay, expectations. And again, rejection. Then what happens? This child will for a season try to fight to receive your love. It's confusing, okay? It's not actually fighting for your approval. It's actually fighting for your love. And which no child should ever, no person, child should ever fight for love. Why? Because I can never do anything in life to make God love me more. Because God cannot love me less. God has loved me. That's his nature. God has loved me with an everlasting love. Because God's love is, everything about God is everlasting. It's an everlasting love. So the simple question is this. When God loved me and died for me, we know it's over and over. When he was his, I was his enemy. I did not know him. I was weak. I was, you, all that thing that is said in the book of Romans. And he loved me. Now that I am his child, and if I stumble, how does he stop loving me? Because when I was in any of these things, he loved me. And I believed and I am saved. Now I am his, in his kingdom. I am his child. When I stumble, how does he stop loving me? He can't stop loving me. Can't stop loving me. This is where people need to understand. Because this is where we as parents and older people need to understand, because this is exactly what he says you have to take into your human relationships, because he says you have to love them unconditionally. But approval is a different thing. Approval is a different thing. God loved Jesus through it all. He loved his son. But when the son, after 30 years of absolute obedience, and obedience in what he suffered, and when his obedience was perfect in his home life, and then he goes, gets baptized, the father says, this is my beloved son.
Mm.
He says, he was always my beloved, but in whom I am well pleased.
That's approval.
Okay, so if you look over there in that statement God makes, there is both love and approval. Okay, he was always beloved. He never stopped being beloved. But approval is what? So we shouldn't come, because this is where children face rejection. Face rejection. Okay, face rejection. And that is something which we have to be very, very careful, because what happens is children face rejection in at home, which is the worst. Then they face rejection at school. Okay, these are all what we call influential voices, authority figures who are speaking into your life. Authority figures. There are figures that speak into your life. If you're a Christian kid, primarily when you're growing up, it's your home, it's your school, it's your church. Everywhere authority figures are there. And their words matter. Their words matter. Okay, words matter. But even there, the ones who can protect them are the parents. Because their words are the most important. Their words are the most important. The parents can protect them, where they can show them the difference between love and approval. But when we don't do that, they grow up with rejection. For a season, some of them may fight and try to struggle to get your approval, confusing it for love. Some of them who are weak will after some time give up. And then there is nothing you can do to them to change. They said, it's too much. Whatever I do, it's not going to change. It's because you confused between love and approval. Okay, so this is where we are, because it can really, really affect your life. Because like I said today, when I put those two pictures on the screen, saw that picture, okay? So we all are looking at a man with the muscles and everybody says he is strong unless you put the label over there. When you put the label over there, you will realize the person who is strong is the person whose strength of his soul. But if you look at him, how did he come through? The question is, he was rejected everywhere. Somebody who faced rejection from the beginning, he was sold by his brothers. His father thought he was dead. But he doesn't know, his father thinks he is dead. So he must be wondering for years, why did my father never send out a search party? Why did my father never inquire and find out about me? What are the thoughts that would go in Joseph? We know, because we read the story, what the brothers did, what they told the father and all. Joseph doesn't know. He doesn't know. Okay. Then he's on a false accusation, he's thrown into prison. And he was thinking, must be thinking, he's normal. Okay, he's not a supernatural divine being or thing. Absolutely. He's a normal human being. He's saying that all these years, I don't know how long it was, I've served so faithfully my master. I never stumbled in one thing. He prospered because of me. And then one day this accusation comes, he doesn't even give me a hearing. Okay. But if you look at him, he never carries a wound of rejection. Though outwardly, if you look at his body is marred. Okay? And the reason is this. Is because God is with him. Reason is this. This is why all women, I talk to women, I'll tell them. Remember Leah. Remember Leah. I said, the innocent victim in all of it. It's not Jacob. It's Leah. Poor thing. Jacob loved Rachel. He wanted to marry Rachel. He labored for Rachel. The father was thinking that if I get him to marry her, this one will stay. Nobody will marry her. So the father set the whole thing up. And he put Leah into the picture. So Jacob goes to bed drunk with Leah. Wakes up and finds it is Leah. It's Leah. Okay, it's Leah. And then he doesn't love Leah. Okay, you need to realize there are, in Jacob's story, there are four women. Two are daughters, two are slaves. There are four women over there. Okay, four women over there. The issue is this. He's having sex with all four. The issue with sex is not sex, which is a physical thing. The issue with sex is what happens to the soul. It's not the body. It is not the body. It's not the body. In the body, it's just a physical thing. It's not the problem with the body. When we talk about premarital or extramarital, the issue is not with the body. The issue is with the soul. Because the problem is when a man and a woman come together, what happens is a yoking takes place. A man's soul may not be yoked to the woman, but the woman's soul may get yoked to the man. Leah's soul is yoked with Jacob, but Jacob's soul is yoked with Rachel. But he's having sex with all four. So there is a complexity over there. The issue is this. Leah's soul is yoked with him, and she's doing everything for his approval, but he's not interested. His soul is yoked. Put it bluntly, he's having sex with Leah, he's having sex with Rachel. But soul-wise, his soul is yoking only with Rachel and not Leah's. But he cannot stop Leah's soul being yoked with him. Her soul is yoked with her. And what she faces every time is a rejection. So the Bible says, when God saw Leah was unloved or hated, okay, he opened her womb, saying that I will give you somebody to love. I will give you somebody. I know, because we were created in God's image and God is love. We cannot help but loving. And that's why God says, do not love this world or the things in the world, because you were not created to love things. You were created to love like me. People with souls. So he said, don't love things. Because the problem is, it is a caricature of who God is. Because God is not in love with things. He's love with us. So he said, don't love things. Because what happens is, if you love things, your soul will get yoked to them.
Hmm.
So you will see people who love things, and if that thing is damaged by their own child, will get wild. Because their soul is yoked with it.
Hmm.
Okay? Because this is where we need to understand what is, why God says things, the reason. So here is Leah struggling for his love. He doesn't love her. So she's facing rejection. But she's able to handle the rejection because she's conceiving. But the problem is, it still doesn't make any difference because she still wants her husband's love. So by the time it comes to the fourth one, she looks up. That's why she names him Judah, which means praise. My husband is not going to praise me, but my God is going to praise. And you will see, as soon as Judah comes, he stops conceiving because she's dealt with the rejection. Now there is another one in the picture called Bilhah. Bilhah is also conceiving. Okay. But she realized, I have no hope of ever getting this man's love. The problem is because I'm just a handmaiden. Handmaiden. Okay. Now you have to understand two other issues over here. One is the soulish part of sex. And then there is the physical part of sex. Now what happens with the physical part of sex is that that door has been opened with Bilhah and she likes it. But she realized after a point, Jacob is not interested. So what happens is she sleeps with Reuben, the elder son. Okay. So these are the complexities that happens. Okay. We need to understand what is happening. Because why are these stories all given to us? So that we understand how God has ordained things. And God says, please understand, rejection is in the soul. Rejection is in the soul. Okay. Rejection is in the soul. So why, the question is, why does Bilhah allow Reuben to sleep with her? Because she says, even if you reject me, I am still attractive. I can get a younger man. Okay. I can get a younger man. Because if you don't reject me, there's somebody who will accept me. There are so many things playing out in these stories. In these stories. This is where we need to understand why God sets things, because he is not talking about the physical thing. Though the physical thing has its own amplification, the issue is what it does to the soul, because salvation is the salvation of the soul and not of the body.
Mm-hmm.
Not of the body. Okay. So the simple question we need to ask is, why did Bathsheba sleep with David? Why didn't she protest? Why didn't she say, you're a righteous man? I know you are a righteous man. You're a man of God. You're somebody. We have heard about you. This is not right. You know my husband is not here. And I'm a married woman. It is not right. Why didn't she protest? Because all she faced from Uriah was rejection. How do you know? I mean, you can go home. You don't have to sleep with her. Why would you come so far away? Because you're on the king's errand. What kind of a man is that? You wouldn't go and say, hi honey, I am back. That you wouldn't even go to see your wife. What kind of a man are you? You are here, she said. Oh, I'm not going. I will sleep here. I mean, come on. When you are drunk, you have so much self-control. That means you have self-control. You can tell your wife, you know, no sex, honey, because you know, I have made a vow. All the others are there on the battlefield. We are all refraining ourselves. We're keeping our focus on the battle. But you don't go to your wife every day for sex. That's just a part of the intimacy thing. You go because of affection. Okay. So if you look, this is how it all plays out. So God has made man different and God has made woman different. To man, God always says, love your wives, 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 love your wives. He never tells in the new covenant anywhere, wives, love your husbands. The only place he tells is in Titus 2:5, if I'm right, where he tells the older women
to teach them.
To teach the younger women how to love their husbands. Okay, to be discreet, chaste, good, obedient. Which translation is
this?
NIV will say how to love their husbands. Okay, basically, okay. If it is obedient, if this is the actual, okay, to be kind, okay, it's fine. Okay, how to be subject to their husbands, okay, so that no one will malign. Okay, so basically, if that is way, then nowhere is it told. Nowhere it is told. Okay, it is verse 4, sorry. That they can train the younger women to love their husbands and their children. The thing is that today we heard teachers to pray. We also need to be taught how to love. Because everybody thinks they all know how to love. We don't know how to love. Because God is love. The question is, do we know how to love like God? We don't know. So we have to be taught. So women need affection. Men need honor. So everywhere the command to the woman is honor your husband, honor your husband, honor your husband, honor your husband, honor your husband. Don't dishonor your husband. In private or in public, be very careful how you speak. Because you are under a curse. The curse has been broken. But look as if the curse has been broken, because when I said something about the marriage in Genesis 3, it is about control. And control and dominion is always with words. We are not exercising dominion in the kingdom with physical force. We exercise dominion with words. So God says, be careful how you speak. Be careful how you speak. Because your words should be which honors your husband, because he is your head, but not using your words to exercise dominion over him, to control him. So everywhere the men are told, love your wives. Because she needs affection. You may not be bothered by it. Bothered by it. You may want sex. She wants more than sex. You want sex. She wants affection. And if you have sex without affection, she feels rejected. She feels rejected. And if you do not show her affection, she feels rejected. The other side of the coin is that if you dishonor your husband, he will not show affection. Because he is wired that way. He will show more affection to his dog who respects him than to his wife. Because he is wired that way. Okay. Because everywhere you have to look at the laws which God has spoken into. So if you want to escape rejection first, because it begins, everything begins within a man and a woman. So please understand, man has to show affection. Woman has to always learn to show respect and honor, especially in the way she speaks. Because everything is by speech. Everything is by speech. It's by words. Why? Because we were created in the image of God. And you will realize God has everything by speaking. And we are created. And that is how we are supposed to do. First and foremost is words. Then we will work with our hands. So first God speaks. Let us make man in our image, in our likeness. And let them have dominion. Then he bends down and he makes the image in clay. And he breathes into it. Okay, so first it is with words. So the words are very, very important. So how does the wound of rejection come? It comes by two sins. One, the sin of commission. We say things which we should have never said. Two, by not saying things which are supposed to say. That's why last time also, I don't know where I said, fathers have to be very careful how they speak to their daughters. Because they need affection. Children all need affection. especially when they are small, they all need affection. But girls need affection all their life. Because if she doesn't get it from her husband, she will always run back to her husband, to her father. Because that's the person who has always affirmed her. So she has only, ideally, a girl has only two men in her life. The first man is her father. And the second man is her husband. She has only two men. And the thing is that, if the father doesn't say, ultimately somebody will say. And when somebody else says, she will go for it. She'll go for it. So if Uriah doesn't say, if David says, she will go for it. We don't know what happened. David must have, when she came here, and she said, wow, I never saw such a beautiful woman in my life. You're really pretty. And she's thinking, my husband doesn't even care. My husband never speaks any of these things to me. I've been waiting here. He never bothers. He's always busy at war, fighting. He's always busy with those things. He's not interested in me at all. And here is a man, that to the king, saying, I'm pretty. I'm desirable. Okay. This is how it all happens. This is what happens. The things which we say or the things which we do not say. Now we only put in one format. In the same way, all the other areas of life, there is affirmation. And when you don't, and when you say, you know, teachers can mess up a child's life by saying, you are stupid, you will never do well, you are such a headache. Okay. These are not words. These are not words that we use. These are not words that you use. Okay? This is how rejection comes. Different ways rejection comes. Okay? So we can reject somebody's work, if you are very careful with words, and never reject the person. Reject the person. Okay? It's how you use words. You can say that. You can really do better. Okay? You're a smart kid. All you need is a little hard work and a little concentration, but this won't go through. This work won't go through. But that doesn't mean that you cannot do it. You cannot do it. Because you need to understand, like I said in the beginning of today's pastor's conference, if you understand God through the Bible, God has created nothing or anybody without a purpose. I read. There are so many colors for flowers. It's because all insects cannot see all colors. Certain insects can only see certain color, so they go to that certain flower to get their pollen and their honey. So even colors have purpose. That's how God has created. So there is not a single thing, not a single person which God has created without purpose. So when you look at a particular person struggling with so many things, you need to realize, though this child may fail in so many things, there is something in this child, boy or girl, in which he was destined to succeed. Because that's my God. Find that. There is something. There is one thing. Some people have multiple things, but there is at least one thing in this person in which this person was divinely ordained to succeed. Find that thing, apply the laws of God's kingdom, affirm that child, the child will succeed. Because God doesn't reject. So one of the first things God does in salvation is he accepts us in Christ Jesus. Look at Ephesians. It's a very powerful verse, Ephesians 1. Where is it? Ephesians chapter 1, 8 or 9. We are accepted in the Beloved. Got it? Yeah, go read from, let's have a, yeah, we can read from three onward, 3 to 6. Like if you can have NIV, it would be nice, but sometimes, you know. Okay. Praise be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. So the simple thing, when you look at verse 3, it should open. Okay. What do I need to be a success? I need blessings. And I've already been blessed in the spiritual realm, in Christ Jesus. It's already been given. For he chose us in him. Everything is in Christ, okay? Before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. To the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in one he loves. Okay? Okay. Yeah, go further down. Yeah, down. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. You look at this. Where is rejection in these verses? And everything he has done without us doing a single thing, because everything was done by Christ for us. So we are received in him. And the first thing he says, be secure. I have loved you. You are accepted in me. Now, when I am telling you, do this, do this, do this, do this, is connected with eternity that is coming. I am a father. I want my children all to succeed. On that day, I want to crown you all, like Narnia. King Peter. No? King Edmund. Okay, imagine how huge this universe is going to be. He says, I want to crown you all because every child of a king is a prince. It's a prince. I want to give you dominion. I want to give you authority. So you are not working to earn my approval. You are working to become something forever. Ever. You're doing it for yourself. You're doing it for yourself. Okay. So this is how God does. First thing is he accepts us. He accepts us. Okay. So this is where I need to go back. How do you finally battle rejection and come through is that you have to see yourself through the eyes of God. Eyes of God. Because otherwise rejection will destroy you. Destroy you. Okay. Because our entire this world is tuned towards false approval. Yes. It's a competition. Dog eat dog kind of a world. Okay. Everything. From the color of your skin to your height, to your weight, to your height. Everything is competition. That's why young people are under so much pressure, which is called peer pressure. So much pressure. That's why this clothing industry, fashion industry, everything. Why do they sell? Because these young ones and people are all buying these things to gain approval. Approval. But if a child has grown normally in the house, the child realizes, I don't need approval with things. I don't need acceptance with this. I'm already accepted. My father accepts me. My mother accepts me. As I am. And I'm working towards my own future. And my future is not so much connected with the world, because if I get into that, then I will get into competition. What I need to do is, Lord, Dad, or Mom, or yourself, get into your closet, discover purpose. Till then, work whatever you are doing, discover purpose. Once you have discovered purpose, you know this eternity has come. Eternity has come. Okay? And then all I have to do is, trust God, understand how these things work, and work out His purpose in my life. For that, resources are not a problem. Because all those things you need to fulfill that purpose, he will add. Guarantee. He will add. Because the problem is, in this world, you have a dream. I have a dream. But to fulfill that dream, you need resources. So before you fulfill the dream, you go to the bank and take a loan up here. Because you have a dream. But there is nobody to feed that dream, fund that dream. But God says, that's not the way I do things. I give you the dream.
I'll fund it.
And I will fund it. Hallelujah. All I tell you is, work out these things this way. So who gave the dream to Joseph? God gave the dream. Yeah. Who funded it?
It's a God.
Let me ask you this. Where did Joseph take a loan?
Hallelujah.
All the days of his life, even though 13 years, he ate freely.
Wow. And ultimately, this borrower is a slave to the lender.
Yeah.
He becomes the lender and everybody becomes a slave. Ultimately. Super.
So it's as simple as that. Very simple as that. So everywhere the simple thing is that if you really believe the Bible and the gospel of the kingdom, why don't you find purpose? And your purpose may be right where you are. What am I supposed to be? An ambassador of God's reconciliation. Lord, anoint me, Lord, anoint me. Anoint me, Father.
Mm.
Anoint me, Father. And every day when I go to work, Lord, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth through me, Lord. Let them see. Let them see, Lord. Let them see. Let them see. And everything for this purpose you have put me. You should never leave a job because you are upset and frustrated and all that. No. You cannot.
Yes.
Okay. I always say, Joseph held four jobs. But in all four jobs, he did the same work. The work was the same. He was a witness. He was a witness. But he held four jobs. So where you work, your job doesn't matter. How you work matters. How you work matters. Everybody is trying to shift jobs. Because they haven't learned how to work. What is work about? Okay. This is what we need to understand. Because otherwise you will face rejection everywhere. Okay. And sometimes people know. That's why don't get into this rat race. Don't get into this rat race. That's what I have to tell pastors always. Look. Don't learn from other men of God. Learn from them. Their faith, their character. Don't ever imitate another man's ministry. Because that may not be the pattern for you at all. At all. My question is this. Okay? It's an assumption. But my assumption, presumption, I'm sure is right. That when at the end God took Moses up the mountain, he took Moses with his rod and buried the rod with him. Otherwise Joshua would have taken that rod.
Hallelujah.
Okay. Joshua would have taken that.
Joshua had to use a sword. Moses used
a sword. Joshua, God did not do anything through Joshua imitating Moses' ministry.
Amen.
It was to the same God.
Mm.
Same God.
Hallelujah.
Same God. Okay. Mm. Same word, same spirit, but works out in a different way. Mm. But here what happens is you're always imitating somebody else. My church should be like him or be better than him, bigger than him. You don't have to. You don't have to ask God. There is a format we have given. We saw the format, the template given in Acts 2:42. That's a format. How you want to do your worship, ask God. Because God likes variety. That's why there are so, all his creation, no two thumbprints are the same. No two flowers look the same. Everything. So he may like your, he may say, okay, you may be side by side two churches. He may say, you sing hymns because I like hymns. You sing choruses because I like choruses too. So at the same time, God is enjoying hymns and choruses. No, he's singing choruses and I will also sing choruses. God says, did you ask me? Who are you singing for? Who are you singing for? Are you singing for them? Are you singing for me? So everywhere we need to be very, very careful. Who is the object of your faith? Man or God? That's why we saw about prayer. He said, these fellows who stand in the road and pray, they already got the reward because they're not praying to me. They are praying for them and they got the reward from them. So everywhere, that is how you beat the cycle of rejection. You need to get out by saying ultimately, you know what? Because even though we say all these things and people listen, because pride has set in. The issue is really with pride. Because people will not change because of pride. Today a husband may be listening. The husband says, I'm not going to change. Let her change first. The woman may be listening. I'm not going to change. Let him change first. Pride is the stumbling block. Everywhere it is pride, self-will and stubbornness. That is what God is telling about. This is the issue with Saul. Stubbornness. It's like idolatry. What is the stubbornness like idolatry? Because it's like an idol. It won't move.
Hmm.
It won't move. So there are a lot of people who are very stubborn. They won't move. They won't move. So it is not that they do not know, but they don't move. But God says, unless you move, things cannot happen. Things cannot change. Okay. So one of the first things you hear about is that the prodigal son goes down and 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 finally eats Big Ben. And from there, he has to come back. But the first step to come back is you have to start talking to yourself. The Bible said, he said to himself. And people need to sit down and ask this question. If I'll go like this, where am I going to end?
Exactly.
People need to ask themselves these questions. It's simple questions. If I work like this, where is my career going? If I eat like this, where is my health going? If I deal with people like this, where are my relationships going? Start talking to yourself. That's the beginning of deliverance. Start talking to yourself. Because it is written in Luke 15, he said to himself. He said to himself. That is the beginning. Have to start talking to yourself. Because ultimately, the only person you can exercise dominion is only you. Because if you read the template in Genesis 1, 26, 27, 28, man is not mentioned there. Dominion and subdue fish, animals, birds, no human beings. The only human being you will exercise dominion is yourself. Powers of darkness. He has brought us out of the dominion of darkness. He says, exercise dominion. Behold, I give you power, authority over all the power of the enemy. Shall trample upon sin. Exercise dominion there too. Sin shall not have dominion over you. Exercise dominion over sin. Not over people. Not over people. I haven't given to you. You can order people. Exercising dominion and ordering people are two different things. Are not the same. So we need to ask. Because the whole question is, how do we beat rejection? How do we handle this? Answer is, ultimately, you have to look up. You have to look up at God. Because in human things, wherever two humans are involved, there are two free wills involved. Okay, this is the tyranny of free will.
Mm.
So ultimately, you have 100% guarantee only with God. Because God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should change his mind. So with God, because he never changes, and because his love is everlasting, and his laws are eternal, if you obey God's laws, you are guaranteed. There's one guarantee with God. Peace with God, guaranteed. Peace with man, as far as possible within your pursuit. There's no guarantee. With man, there is. Eternity, there is guarantee, because the invisible will become visible, but here, no guarantee. No guarantee with wife, no guarantee with husband, no guarantee with children, no guarantee with pastor, no guarantee with sheep, no guarantee with boss. There's no guarantees here. May not. God, yes, guaranteed. Why? Because he will never change. His word is forever settled in the heavens. So you go to the word. The reason we go to the word is to understand the laws, the principles, the precepts in which God functions. You stick to that, guaranteed. Guaranteed. This is a simple recipe God is giving Joshua in Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. Simple. Okay. Joshua chapter 1, 8. This book of law shall not depart from your mouth. You shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written. He says, I am giving you a law. What is this law? This is how my kingdom works. For you, man. This is how my kingdom works. You meditate upon it day and night, you will understand the principles of my kingdom. Meditate upon it carefully. When you open your mouth, it's good you don't open your mouth. But if you open your mouth, be very careful. You speak according to my law, my principle. Don't contradict my law, because words are powerful. If you speak the opposite will happen to you. Because I have created you in my image. I saw darkness. If I say darkness, darkness will prevail. So I saw darkness. I spoke light. So light came into being. If you are weak and you look into my word and I say you are strong. If you say you are weak, you will remain weak. You will never become strong. Because you're contradicting my law.
Amen.
You're contradicting my law. Don't contradict my law. Because my law will not change for anyone. It is forever settled in the heavens. So be careful that you meditate upon my word day and night. Be careful to observe it. Be careful when you speak only to say accordingly. What will I give, do? I will make your way prosperous. And you will have success. Guaranteed. A very simple recipe. This is how Israel was supposed to function. Now in the new king, in the kingdom of God, we are not looking at prosperity and success in the temporal realm, because the temporal realm does not matter, because we are out of this place. We are not in this world. We are not of this world. Israel was in this world and of this world. We are not in this world. We are in this world. We are not of this world. So don't look at it one by one. Now our whole template has changed. We are aliens, we are pilgrims. So when they are called to be successful and prosperous, they were called to be successful and prosperous in the land God has given them. They were given a particular place. In this kingdom, people, we are not given any land. Because we are not of this earth. We will come back to this earth. But right now. So if God wants you to prosper and success the way an Israelite is supposed to succeed, then that is your purpose in the kingdom of God now. And the reason for your success, whenever people talk about success and prosperous, they always think in terms of fame or power or money. These three things. He says, if you do, it is for the kingdom. Don't forget it. If you make a lot of money, put it back. It's not for you. It's not for you. It's for the kingdom. If you have power, it is to bring influence for the sake of the kingdom.
Amen.
If you have a reputation, it is to draw people through your reputation to me. It's not for you.
Absolutely.
Understand that. In the kingdom, it is different. It's not like Israel. It's not like Israel. You need to understand. Okay? So be very, very careful. Your charisma, if God gives you, lift Christ up. Don't draw men to yourself. Lift Christ up. So today that's what I asked today. What is that you want? Character or charisma? Best have character with charisma. So you can draw people to Christ. You can draw people to Christ. Okay? This is where the things happen. This is where we need to understand. Everything has changed. Everything has changed. Because now we have been accepted in Christ Jesus. Live that out every day. I am accepted. I am accepted. And if nobody will affirm you, affirm yourself. Affirm yourself. If you have doubts, read 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse 6.
Jesus has David strengthened himself.
Okay, David was greatly distressed, for people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people were grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. Okay, what happened? Achish doesn't want, generals don't want, Philistines don't want, everybody rejected you. When you come over here, everything that was your own, which you built in 16 months, all is burned down. It's gone. Your work is gone in flames. And second, those 600 soldiers who followed you all these months, they have rejected you. But he knows one person. If I go to him, he still will not reject me. He will not. Because I know him. I've met him in my closet. I've met him in my wilderness and I know something about him. He never changes.
Mm.
So he encouraged himself in the Lord. He encouraged him. That is why this knowledge of God, who he really is, important.
Mm.
That's why he was upset with the Pharisees. He said, you are a caricature of who my father is. That's not what my father is. My father is holy. My father is righteous. But my father is loving. He's loving.
Mm.
He didn't send me to condemn. He sent me to save. If he wanted to condemn, he would have done it with Adam and he wiped them out and started all over again. That's not who my father is. Why is he delayed so many thousands of years, even though evil is increasing, wickedness, why is he waiting? Because he still doesn't want anybody to perish.
Wow.
So he's still giving time. Come on. Even do those 7 years of tribulation, even though people are dying in their millions, still through that he's hoping when they look at it, they will repent and turn back. And people are turning back even during that period. That is who God is. That is who God is. So, you want to escape the curse of rejection? Go to Christ. Why? Because he was rejected on the cross so that we could be accepted. The final rejection is Christ on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you rejected me? The Father is saying, Son, I have to reject you. For a short period so they can accept them.
Mm.
It is not possible. I accept you and I accept them. I cannot because there is this issue called sin. So when their sin come upon you, I will reject you.
Mm.
So that I can take your righteousness, put it on them and accept them. That is why we are accepted only in the blood. Nowhere. That's why we can never go to God other than in the name of Jesus. No other name. Because we are accepted only in Christ. That is why the issue with the book of Job. Job was upright, feared God, blameless on earth. But the righteousness of earth is not enough for heaven. For heaven, you need the righteousness of God. So how do you want to escape it? If there is nobody to accept you, please remember one, God has. Two, Speak to yourself. I am loved by my God. He has accepted me. Not based on my works, but based on the work of Christ. Therefore, I will look to the cross. That's why we have these so many songs about the cross and about Christ. That's why I'm accepted. And then, that's why if you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18 onwards, all the rejects God says, come to me. But the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. What is the message of the cross? It is rejection. So where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of the age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? And now come for the dumb. For see, in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God. It pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. What is that? Okay, come further down.
So see your calling, brethren, not.
Yeah. Okay. Mm. Yeah, come further down. 26. See your calling, brethren. Oh, there's a calling.
Mm.
That many wise according to, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Mm. Now let me ask you this. Who in the world, which corporation, which company, who in the world will call those the rejects? God has chosen the foolish things of this world to put to shame the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. God has the base things of the world, things which are despised, God has chosen. Things which are not. The rejected ones. God says, come to me. I want the rejects. The world doesn't operate like that. The world wants the smart, the mighty, the wise. That is my issue with pastors in India. When the temperature is 38, why do you have to wear a coat and a tie?
Mm.
Coat and a tie. Because we need to understand. We need to understand. I'll tell you something. Why is that democracies don't fight? Yet it is written in the Bible and in history at a time when kings go to war. Why do kings go to war? Because the kingdom is built on the principle of expansion.
Mm.
Democracies are not. Kingdoms expand. Why is Russia now fighting Ukraine? Because the imperial Russia is coming back.
Mm.
Russia once was an imperial empire. And that's the thing. Ukraine was part of us. Why is China always trying to breeze down other nations? Because they're going back to the imperial China. Thinking kingdom, we need to expand. So kingdoms expand and God's kingdom expands. Okay, God's kingdom expands. But God's kingdom does not expand geographically in terms of earth. It expands in terms of souls.
Yeah.
In terms of souls. Okay, so understand how these things work. We have to be very, very careful. Very, very careful how we understand these concepts. Because everything that is happening in the world is got to do with concepts and ideas and ideologies. Okay, so in this world, they don't want these kind of people.
Hmm.
Okay, so what happens is when a kingdom expands, when Britain, which was a kingdom, came, they expanded, they made colonies. The British came to India. Most part, they were the largest colonial imperial power when they went in. What did they bring with them? First thing, when a kingdom expands, they bring the language. Second, they bring their culture.
Mm.
So what did we do? We speak English. And they told us, Wear ties. That's what kingdom does. Kingdom does. Okay. They won't tell us it is 38 degrees. It is cold in Britain. So we wear ties. You don't have to say if you're going to work for the British civil service, wear ties. Because this is our kingdom culture. But the kingdom has gone back. And that kingdom culture has got nothing to do with the kingdom of God.
Hmm.
So when you are standing before the people, be very careful. Which kingdom are you representing?
Mm.
Are you representing King Jesus or King Charles?
Mm.
People don't understand these things. This is why I always say, please, I remember years back, 20, 25, 30 years back, when I was invited to speak for the Christmas program at a regiment, army regiment. And battalion, this thing. And I had no clue. First time I was going in for such a big program, I didn't know it was such a gala program where all the flags were put up, tents were put up. And I didn't even put on a coat or anything. Because, you know, when you go into official programs, they will have a dress code and all. Keep the dress code. It's fine. Okay, if I preach in US or UK, I will definitely put on a coat and a tie and I have no issues with it, but I will always tell that because you don't want to be a stumbling block, the gospel to be a stumbling block. So here I was just a trouser with a shirt and I reached the gate over there. I went on my scooter. I get over there. I see the officers waiting for me and I had my usual bag. The commanding officer is standing and a second person is standing. The second person takes my bag. And the commanding is behind me. And the commanding officer is a full colonel, is walking beside me, taking me in because this is the protocol. I didn't know the protocol, but they're very polite. They won't show anything. And then finally, when I was asked to speak, and the Lord had already put in my heart what to speak. And the first thing I told them in Hindi and English is this. The West has never produced a religion. The West has only produced ideologies. Every religion in the world was born in the East. Judaism, Christianity, Islam, Hinduism, Buddhism, all religions come from the East. So Christ is not a man from the West. Christ is not from America. Christ is not from Britain. Christ is from the East. Middle East. So Christianity is not a foreign religion. It's an Eastern religion. Suddenly everybody relaxed. Relaxed. It's not a Western religion. It's from the East. And we are all part of the East. Part of the East. Then you go into telling who Christ is and how Christ is the promised Messiah. Every religion talks about. Every religion talks about a Savior. And He is that man. Because the problem is, we don't understand how kingdoms operate. That so many things that we do is got to do with, I don't have Modi government renaming the whole things in Delhi. They understand. We need to rename it. We are no longer under British rule. So we will change Rajpath, we will change a parliament, we will change everything. Why? Because this is all got to do with a colonial past. And it is changed. 75 years have passed by. We are a new nation. We are a new nation. And we are going back to who we were. So, in principle, I understand what he's doing. I don't have issues with it. I don't have issues with it. Okay? So he's trying to go back to India's Hindu past and going to make into a Hindu Rashtra. You want to do it? You do it. I have no issues with it. You know why? Because my citizenship is of heaven. I have read the end of the book. When the seventh trumpet blows, the kingdoms of this world, including India, will become the kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So I have no issues because I know where my citizenship is from. I know what my culture is. I know what my language is. I am in this land. I have an identity which talks about my citizenship, but inside my soul is different. It's not of this land. It's of another land. So you do whatever you want. People have been doing it for centuries. It's okay. Doesn't bother me. But when you come against liberty and freedom enshrined in my constitution, I have an issue. Because in my constitution, I have the freedom to believe what I want. And to propagate it. I have the freedom. Don't take it away. Okay. But that is something which I will never stop, because that's part of my constitution from above. You shall be my witnesses. The gospel of this kingdom shall be preached to the ends of this world, and the end shall come. So you need to understand how cultures operate. So what is happening in the West? What is happening in America? Why are the borders open? Why are the borders being flooded with 7, 8, 10, 11 millennium? Because they want to cut away their past. Cut away their past. Because this is called, if there is what is called construction, it is called deconstruction. We are deconstructing and creating a new country. New country. Not what the founding fathers found. We are making a new country. New country. There. So what we are seeing in the last days is, in per se, in the name of democracy, what we are seeing is kingdoms rising. The kingdom of India is rising. The kingdom of China is rising. The kingdom of Russia is rising. In another way, the kingdom of America is rising. Where everything is controlled by a small group of people. Small group of people. Okay. So, this is where we need. But their roots are different from our roots. So there will always be a set of people who will fight it. So we need to understand. So don't be part of the contemporary culture or that. You will face rejection. We should face rejection if we become part of it. Amen. Because we are not part of it. You are in this world, Jesus said. But you are not of this world. Jesus did not pray to his Father to take us out. Father, I am not praying that you take them out of this world. I am praying that you protect them from the evil one.
Yes.
They need to be here because they need to be my witnesses. And your witnesses and the kingdom witnesses. So if you try, if a kingdom person, a child of God tries to be part of this world, he will face rejection. He has to face rejection. Good for you. You are never supposed to be part of this world.
Mm.
Never supposed to be part of this world. So rejection can come in so many ways. But one place where you should not face rejection is one, your home, part of the kingdom of God. Two, your church, which is part of the kingdom of God. There is no rejection, should not be no rejection. There, you are accepted in the beloved. You will be told what to do, what not to do, and when you don't do what you don't do, you may get a scolding, a reproof, a rebuke. That does not mean you are not accepted.
Amen.
You are loved, you are accepted. But your work is not accepted. That's not how kingdom people work. People are upright, they have integrity, they are hardworking. The way they work differently. Unto God. They do it cheerfully. They do it willingly. They are committed to a cause. That's how it works.
Hmm.
So you can get out of rejection just like that. Just like that. I'm not saying it is easy, but if you believe, all things are possible to him or her who believed. Jesus faced rejection on the cross.
Hmm.
It is final words is, my Father, I commit my spirit into your hands. I still trust you. My God, why have you forsaken me? Yet, to the very God who forsook him, he committed his soul. I know you.
Mm.
I know you. I know you too well. That is how we love.
Pastor, I think closely following it is question number two. I think you should continue on the same theme. You could, because the refusal to repent and the refusal to humble ourselves, that is essentially the root cause for all our problems. Look at what it says in this question. God offers us one all-sufficient solution, which is his answer to every problem. The cross of Jesus, Isaiah chapter 53 verses 4 to 8. This is applied through the process of repentance. Failure or refusal to repent may produce disastrous results. Would you give us insight about our failure to repent?
See, when again, like, you know, repent has become again a religious word, theological word. Simple thing. Repent is change the way you think.
Mm.
So, let us make it very simple. Change the way you think. If you don't change the way you think, it will have a disastrous result.
Mm-hmm.
Because the kingdom thinking is different.
Mm.
The world's thinking, there are very patterns, different ways in the world. But all the ways ultimately lead to death. God has only one way. And he is the way. One way. Okay. So God says basically repent is, you have a crisis, you have a problem. The question is not your problem. The question is, how are you going to deal with this problem? What does God say about this problem? First, what does God say? How should you deal with this problem? It's as simple as that. The problem is not the problem. The problem is, how are you going to start thinking about it?
Hmm.
Prodigal son had a problem. He finished his money. He ended up in the pig pen. And he wanted to fill his mouth with that pots, and he couldn't, and he was very hungry. And the solution was, he started thinking. First thinking, in my father's house, nobody's hungry. Nobody's hungry. There's no lack there. Even the hired servants have enough to eat. Father is a kind man. So what will I do? I'll change my thinking. And a part of that is, I will tell him, I'm sorry.
Mm.
I'm sorry. If you goofed up, say sorry. I goofed. I'm sorry. And I will go and tell him, can I be one of your hired servants? Because the problem is, I took my inheritance.
Yeah.
So I have nothing to go back to.
Mm,
I blew it all away.
Mm.
What was mine, I blew it away.
Mm.
So I have nothing to go back to. So I go back to him and I will say, can I be one of your hired servants? But when he goes back, what he sees is, he's accepted.
Mm-hmm.
He's covered. He's given his position back. But remember, inheritance is already gone.
Mm.
So he's a type of a believer who will enter into heaven having blown his inheritance away. But he's still a son. How does he see it? I will give you some work to do. You cannot have dominion because you blew it away. But you are a son.
Mm.
You did not become a son by works. You became a son because you believed. But you get dominion because of works.
Mm.
So you won't have dominion. Won't have dominion. Okay. So repentance is basically changing. If you don't change the way you think, you will have disastrous effects. It will come. But the question is, what leads you there? See, let us say John Ritchie is sitting. John Ritchie broke into a house at night and stole 50,000 rupees. He won't do it, but let us say, as an example, he did it. He didn't know there was a CCTV camera which picked it all. He is arrested and put it before the court. When he is brought before the court looks at his crime and then looks at the IPC code, the law book, and sentence him to 6 months of imprisonment and a fine of 100,000 rupees, of which 50,000 has to go back to that house and 50,000 into the government treasury. Now let me ask this question. Who judged him? No, the law judged you.
Mm.
Judge will never judge you. For him to judge, he needs a law. The law judged you.
Hallelujah.
Okay. So you go to the roof, you walked on the edge, you fell down. Why did you fall?
The law judged you.
The law judged you. Called gravity.
Mm.
So God says, if you violate my law, it will automatically trigger.
Have its consequences, yeah.
It will automatically trigger things.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not judging you.
Yeah, exactly.
Jesus said, God has given all judgment to me.
Mm.
I won't judge you.
The word. Mm.
The word you heard, on that day will judge you.
Yeah.
So we need to realize, every courtroom, the judge is not judging you. The law is judging you. The judge is only applying the law. Applying the law. So the one who judges you is the law. So God has created everything. And everything he created, laws are set into place. So one of the laws says, fire is good.
Hmm.
If you use it properly. But if you draw too close to the fire, it will burn.
Hmm.
If you violate the law, you will burn.
Yes. Yes.
You will burn.
Can a man take fire in his bosom?
It will burn. Right? You can't change the law.
Yeah.
You can put water over it and douse the flames. But you cannot do anything to that flames where you can say, I'll put my hand in and I will not be burnt. If you have to do that, you have to have another law, which is called, you need asbestos glove, if it can be made, kind of a suit. That can withstand heat up to a high level. Then you get into the fire, you won't be burnt. Because asbestos works on another law. To break that law, the fire has to be that hot. So you need to realize, behind everything, there is law. You are sitting there behind two cameras. The cameras work on laws. You violate the laws, they will hear us, they won't see us. The sound, the machine is over there. The sound works on certain laws. If you break that law, they will see us, they won't hear us.
Mm.
So that is what God is. What is repentance? Repentance is coming back to obeying the law. The laws which God has ordained. Coming back. I goofed up. This is what happened. Now I understood. I am going back to my father's house. In the father's house, there are laws. If you obey the laws, you will eat. You cannot go back to the father's house and say, I am coming back on my own terms. I don't like your laws, but you have to feed me. Father will say, sorry son, you took your inheritance and you left.
Mm.
Inheritance and you left. Okay, you left. He says, in my house, there are laws. You have to follow that laws. If you don't follow that laws, this is where we have to understand false sympathy doesn't work. See, so many people do not understand even what true love is. If the father says, son, please don't go again. Do whatever you want. He doesn't love the son. He's in love with himself. He's not saying that for him. He's saying it for himself. I can't bear the pain of you going away. He doesn't love his son. God does. So he will discipline us. He said, I will spank the daylights of you. Because I love you. You are my son. You take your inheritance and you go blow it in the world. I promise you will end up in the big pen. I'm not going to protect you. Why? Because I love you. From there you will come back to me. I'm not going to lose you. In John 17, when he prays, he says, Father, everyone that you gave me except the son of perdition, I have kept them. I've kept them. Now I am leaving. I prayed, Father, you keep them. I won't lose a single one. They will betray me. They will run away. The one will run naked, but I won't lose them. I won't lose them. Okay, so you need to understand what does repentance means. Because we have made it into theological, religious. That's not what repentance. Just go back to the laws. What did I say? Mm. You go back. Okay, go back to that portion in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. Godly sorrow.
7:10.
7:10.
2 Corinthians 7:10.
Godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to
salvation.
Salvation. What is salvation? Restoration. Godly sorrow. What is godly sorrow? That's a prodigal son. What did I do? See, you need to be sorry for yourself. What did I do?
Being your son.
What did I do? What an idiot am I?
Absolutely.
What an idiot am I? You see, the prodigal son in the entire process didn't harm anybody except himself. Father is fine. Mother is fine. Brother is fine. They're all grieving. Brother, of course, is not grieving. But father is grieving. Mother is grieving. But they're all eating well. You're the one who suffered. That's godly sorrow. Godly sorrow is basically see from God's perspective. Who are you hurting? You're hurting yourself. Go back. Go back. Work on it. Go back. Back to the laws. What does it produce? Salvation. What is salvation? Restoring us back to the original position. Go back. Stick to the laws. Stick to the laws. Okay. But the sorrow of the world produces death. Why? The sorrow of the world does not bring repentance. That's why it produces death. The sorrow of the world, poor me. Nobody loves me. Nobody loves me. But the person won't change. Person won't change. He will lie in that pig pen. And he will hug one pig. Only you understand. Nobody understands. The pig looks at them and says, I also don't understand.
Why are you hugging me?
Because we are in our natural habitat. You are not. I don't understand. The pig looks at me. I don't understand. Okay. The pigs were sending out a statement to the man in Gadarenes. We don't understand you. How did you live so long in oppression? We can't even handle 1 minute of this. We would rather give it up than to live under oppression. I don't understand why. The difference between godly sorrow, and if you look over there, what's the difference between godly sorrow and worldly sorrow is repentance. Changing of the way you think. It's as simple as that. Okay. So that's where we need to of course, repentance. If you don't repent, it will become disastrous results. Disastrous results. And disastrous result, we are not talking per se here of somebody who's saved of losing your salvation. Okay. Okay, let us put it across in these terms. You go to write your class 10 board exams. You were copying. You were caught. It was the first exam. You copied, you were caught, and you were disqualified. You can write the board exams. Did it have disastrous result?
Of course.
Yes, disastrous result. Why? You are disqualified from writing the exam. That means you are no longer in the race. They didn't kill you. They just disqualified you. So Paul says, I run in such a way so that after having preached, I should not be disqualified, not cast out of the kingdom. Disqualified. So meaning, I will enter the kingdom, but I will get nothing. You are disqualified. Because you are not qualified for salvation. So you cannot be disqualified for salvation. You were qualified for the race. I'm talking about genuine salvation cases. Okay, genuine salvation. If you were never qualified for salvation, how can you be disqualified for salvation?
Absolutely.
It's a gift. It's a gift. But once you receive the gift, God says, put your nose straight, run. Because I have many things for people who run well. And it is eternal, forever and ever. Everything here is temporal. That is eternal. So change your thinking. Get set, go. Change your thinking. That's how everybody is motivated. The huddle. In the football halfway, half time, we are one goal behind. Get your heads together. We can win this. Everything, motivation, motivation. Oh, temporal. But Paul says we are running for an eternal crown. So every time when we come back to church, the whole thing is, even today, is motivation. Run! Character, not charisma. This is the purpose of prayer. This is what you need to do because you are running something that is eternal. Get back on the field. Don't give up. 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 You're not running for your salvation. You're running for your crown. It is eternal. Crown does not mean crown per se, though it will be there. It is basically what God is going to give it to you, the power, the authority, the task He is going to give it to you forever. And that's where your joy will come from. Joy of working with God. That's what God is talking about. So when it comes to repentance, please remember what repentance means. The simplicity. Simply means change the way you think. So the question is, how should I think? Think the way the kingdom functions. Like everything works under certain laws, the kingdom has its own laws. And what is Jesus is teaching? Jesus didn't change the law. Law came through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So Jesus didn't cancel the law. What he canceled was the Levitical law. Because it is no longer needed. It is fulfilled in Christ Jesus. But the other law still remains. Only thing, we understand the truth of it now. What does it mean from outward to inward? We told you about sex. No? So in the Old Testament, God just said, don't do that, don't do this. Don't do premarital, don't do postmarital. Extramarital. Don't do that. That's all he said. But we didn't understand the truth of it. The truth of it is revealed in the new covenant. What happens? You become one soul with that person. Mm. It's a yoking that takes place. You may sleep with somebody. It may never affect your body. You may never get any STD. Or anything, because you're very careful about all these things. No pregnancy, nothing over here, but it affects your soul. Affects your soul. First thing, you may end up marrying that person. And that person was never meant to be your partner in my purpose. So the person becomes a stumbling block. You're yoked to that person. Your soul is yoked to that person. So what it does to the soul is what God is talking about. Like we have one spirit with God. That's why he brings it there. Show that reference, Pastor.
Yes. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 19-20.
That is where we understand the truth of the law. Do you not know your body is the temple?
1718 onwards. Okay. Yeah.
He who is joined to the Lord 16, is one spirit. Do you not know he who is joined to the harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. But he is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. So he's talking here about a harlot. He says, you know, there's a yoking that takes place over there. Okay. He says, you become one flesh. Okay, now he's talking about Adam and Eve. Talking about a body and a soul coming together. There's an intimacy that takes place. You see, a young man, this is used to happen in history. You know, all these stupid older men used to do it with young men. Say that you have to experience, so they will take him to a brothel. He has an experience with the harlot. It doesn't make any difference to the harlot. Because that is our trade. But it creates such an effect on the young man. Because he became one with a person which was supposed to be kept for his wife. So he will not be able to outgrow that experience until he comes to Christ and he repents and he's delivered. Okay. This is how things happen. So God said, hello, don't do it. Okay. So where there is premarital sex, God will say, if they are both agreeable, parents are both agreeable, let them get married. Right?
Yes.
And you know,
yes.
And if they are not variable, let him give this price or something. He will say that. Okay. But when it comes to marriage, he will say, kill them.
That's it.
Now he's not saying kill them because I don't think anybody was killed. But he's saying the marriage is dead. The marriage is dead because whoever did is now yoked to another person. So Jacob is married to Leah. Jacob is married to Rachel, but Jacob has sex with Rachel. Jacob has sex with Leah, but the thing is that Jacob is yoked to Rachel. So as far as he is concerned, his marriage with Leah is dead. Though he's married to her. The marriage is dead. Nothing of a marriage, the affection, the intimacy between a husband and a wife is not happening there. The marriage is dead. So we need to understand, why was the law given? What is the truth of this here? So if you look through the Old Testament, was anybody stoned to death? Except Phineas putting through that, this thing.
That was a different thing.
That's a different thing. Yeah. You don't see anybody being stoned to death. Rebellious son.
Anybody
is being stoned to death? No. Not being stoned to death. So God is giving us the law. He says, you just keep the law now. You won't understand it now. One day my son will come. Once he comes, he dies, he rises, and you're born into the kingdom. You will understand what the truth is. Because you have become spirit beings now. Because truth is spirit. My words are spirit. This is the understanding. So, we look at the law and we say, law has been cancelled. No. The requirements of the law, that was a Levitical. This one should die, that one should die, this curse should come, that curse. All that was taken upon Christ. He became the curse and he died. That requirement has been taken away from you. Now you understand the truth. But the truth is inward. It's inward. He says, but I didn't just come with the truth. I came with grace and truth. The grace is the enabling power of God to keep the truth. You can. So if you can't repent, you must say, Lord, give me the grace to repent, to change my thinking. Because in the kingdom of God, everything operates by the power of grace. Lord, I struggle to change my thinking. Lord, I need grace. Because it is written in John 1:14-16, out of the fullness of his grace.
He received grace upon grace.
We received grace upon grace. He came with full of grace and truth. Verse 16. Okay. Out of his fullness, we have all received grace for grace. What do I need? I know the truth. I know the truth. What do I need? I have a brilliant idea. I want to start this production company. I want to start this. I know it will be a roaring success, but I don't have the money. What do I need? I need the money. I got the idea. It's pakka. I have the idea. But I don't have the money. I know the truth. But I don't have the power. God says the truth and the power are mine. I'll give you the power. I will give you the power. Don't ever try to do it on your own. Because he said there is 4,000 years of human history showing you the best in the old covenant. Could not do it. Could not do it. That's why I told you, of woman that is born, the greatest is John.
But he,
yet the least in the kingdom is greater than him. Because in the kingdom, you have truth and you have grace. So, don't try to do it on your own. Ask for grace. Live by grace. Live by grace. This season of fasting. Don't fast on your own. Because there's a fasting under the law. You can fast on your own. Or you can ask God, Lord, give me the grace to fast so that the purpose of the fasting in your kingdom is fulfilled. Because everybody fasts. So it's not about fast. What is empowering your fast? That's where the changing verse is John 1:17. Law came through Moses so that we would understand what are the standards of God's kingdom. What is the standards of God's kingdom? Oh, the God, kingdom of God is like that. Oh Lord, have mercy. Who can be then be saved? So the purpose of the law was to bring us to Christ. Galatians will say that the law was a schoolmaster. The purpose of the law was to bring us to Christ. So the thing is that once we have come to Christ, law is over. What takes over? Faith takes over. What is faith? Faith is a combination of grace and truth. Doesn't mean you were left in a vacuum to do whatever you want. No. What has taken over? You go back to Galatians. Chapter 3. Galatians. Yeah. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ that we may be justified by faith. And now read 25-26. After faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. Who was the tutor?
Law.
You are no longer under that tutor. Who is your tutor now? The Spirit of God has come inside. I will give you somebody just like me. And he will be with you, in you, forever. Even in eternity, he will keep teaching you. You think in eternity we have known everything? No. Then God can be compressed. All of eternity we will still not understand God. Because eternity cannot contain them. So God has given us a teacher forever. He will teach you all things. Faith comes from?
Hearing.
Hearing from the Word of God. That hearing is the Holy Spirit. He is our tutor. And that's why he is called the Spirit of Truth and the Spirit of Grace. That's how it works. Okay. There is always room for error. When you fall, again we looked in the morning. John 1:2:1. Little children, these things I write to you so that you may not. Okay, not you should not. May not sin. But you will. But if anyone sins, don't go into the slough of despondency. No. Don't do that. You have an advocate who is for you, not against you. We have an advocate with the Father, who is Jesus Christ the righteous. Go to him. Go to him. You have an advocate. And he will say, repent. Change the way you think. Confess. My blood, you don't know the power of my blood. It has the power to cleanse every man's sin from the beginning till the end. It has a power. It will cleanse you of all unrighteousness. That's all the father says. Yeah, accept it. Because the father says, no, that is not enough. Then he's saying his son's life was not enough. That is how you do it. That's how you do it. That's how it works. Mm. Go back to that question and we will close. One sufficient solution. What is his answer? The cross. The cross is the solution to question one, question two, everything. It is the cross. What is the key to rejection? On the cross, he was rejected and I was accepted. Simple. And not only that, he rose again. So he is also accepted. I am also accepted. He is my advocate. And I am with the Father. I am acceptable. I can always go to the Father through him. Second one, repentance. What is repentance? Change the way you think. Child walks on the edge of the terrace, falls, breaks its leg, cast, 6 weeks later, cast is written, walks, and 2 weeks later, again goes up over there and falls. This time, head fractures, lying there in the ICU, in a coma. Why? Because you didn't change your thinking. You didn't change your thinking. That's what God is saying. Change your thinking. Otherwise, what? The law will be triggered. The law will be triggered. He said, I can't change the law. If I change the law, that means I change. But I don't change. Yeah. The laws are just a visible manifestation of who I am, how I think. That's why Jesus said, I did not come to break the law. What do you think? I'm lawless. I came to fulfill them. Anyone who teaches somebody else
the least
to break the law will be the least in the kingdom.
Least of these.
Anyone who teaches to keep the law will be the greatest in the kingdom. Because that's how it is. That's how it is. Simple. Amen. We shall close it. Oh, it's 8 o'clock. We shall close it a day.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord, for this week. Through it all, you brought us through. We'll pray. Yeah.
Pastor.
Father, we just thank you. We just thank you. We just thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Once again, this evening, here, morning, afternoon, different time zones, wherever your children are listening from, I pray, Lord, they are encouraged. They are comforted. It caused them to think how simple the gospel is. God not only gives us the solution, he also gives us the power. Nowhere in this world will we ever, ever have a chance like that. Both truth and grace come from you. We are given the permission to come to you boldly to the very throne room of grace. Receive mercy where we broke the law and grace for what our need. We can't have it better than that, Lord. Can't have better than that. The prodigal son couldn't have better than that. After messing up everything, come back to be hugged, embraced, kissed by the Father, to be dressed in the best robe, sandals on his feet, a ring back, the fatted calf killed, throwing a party. How can we get it any better than that? Because he did nothing to deserve it. And he did everything not to deserve it. That's why salvation always will be a free gift. And a free gift alone. We just thank you, Lord. Your ways truly are higher than our ways. Who can understand it? We can just receive it by faith. Commit everyone into the hands who are listening. Touch them. Comfort them. Heal them, deliver them, strengthen them. Whatever they needed is it. Jesus is sufficient and his grace is sufficient. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. We tarry, if you tarry to come, give us another day. I pray we all will be once again in your house tomorrow. We praise you, we worship you, we glorify you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.